Unless we are simply unthinking Christians who aren't willing to engage any kind of thought and just have nothing but pat answers, at some point we do have to engage the question of why there is real suffering, real evil in the world, real heartache, and yet a real, loving, and all-powerful God. It is an age-old question, and we're kind of tackling it at least a little bit this week with Randy Alcorn. Randy's book is called If God Is Good. It's a Multnomah book. Randy, welcome back. It's been a good week already.
Well, thanks. Good to be with you, Greg.
I think, and this happens to be section 5 in your book, but I think this is one of the most exciting parts of this whole story, and it has to do with this drama of Christ's redemptive work, his death on the cross, and how all of that relates to this whole issue of evil. What are you trying to get at in this section?
Well, I talk about how the fact that I, in addition to my nonfiction books, I've written quite a bit of fiction. So as a novelist, we who write novels study the craft of story writing. And certainly that's behind any good movie in addition to a book, a play, drama, whatever. And there are certain components to the great stories. They must have high stakes. They must involve very serious conflict. They all involve great loss, the very challenge of hope and faith. And then there are interventions, things that happen, story twists and turns, and there's movement toward a resolution, sometimes a gradual one, often a very sudden one, where something happens, and then the end of the story ties together loose ends from the beginning of the story, and above all, the highest compliment that can be paid in the New York Times Book Review, and this is a word that is used routinely by secular reviewers, and that is, this was a great redemptive story.
Yeah.
Redemptive. Okay, well, they don't know this. I mean, they may be an atheist, but they are using a distinctly biblical term.
Mm-hmm.
What defines a redemptive story? Well, it's what the Bible teaches about redemption. So Scripture itself is the ultimate redemptive story. It is the greatest story ever told. Now, it's a true story, but it is nonetheless a story, and it's a drama that is worked out through human history, and you and I are a part of it. And one of the things I talk about in these chapters is, you know, if you were the author of the story, how would you have written it differently than God? Oh, well, I wouldn't allow evil and suffering into the world. Okay, so there's the conflict. It's gone. Now what is the story? I would not have allowed this, that, and the other thing. Okay, where's the character growth? That's one of the things that I didn't mention, the growth in the character. There must be development in the character. The character doesn't just stay the same throughout the story, or it's a boring story. God made a fascinating story, and there are attributes of God that would never have been revealed in any dramatic way. We never would have enjoyed the riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, as it talks about in Ephesians 2, that we will celebrate in the ages to come. We never would have seen his patience, his mercy, his compassion, unless we lived in a world that was fallen and broken, in which he intervened in a beautiful and magnificent way to demonstrate his love for us. What would we have known of the love of God? He's a good creator. That was nice that he made us. Didn't cost him anything to make us. We would be very limited in our capacity to worship God, but God wants us to worship him for all eternity and celebrate the wonders of his grace, which we can do because of this great unfolding drama of redemption.
Yeah, that is an amazing thought. And, you know, I'm thinking, Randy, too, as you think about the actual redemptive act of Christ itself, his giving up his life in what was probably the most horrendous method of death at the time.
Absolutely.
And then you ask the question again in light of that, why all this suffering? You're brought back to say, well, whatever other reasons there are, Christ went through more than any of us will ever go through. So That's all in there, a part of it too, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I've got it's integrated into many chapters, but I have one chapter in particular that's entitled Jesus, the Only Answer Bigger Than the Questions. And he is the only answer bigger than the questions. And in the end, if we say to ourselves, well, I don't know if God really loves me, I can just picture him extending to us those nail-scarred hands. When we've said, well, I'm not sure that God really cares, he stretches his hands out to us, and he's standing there with his scarred feet, and he looks at us and he says, do these look like the hands of a God who does not care? I mean, he has paid the ultimate price for our redemption. And in the end, the greatest suffering, as you said, Greg, the greatest suffering in the history of the universe taken on by any person is the suffering God took upon himself for us, and he didn't have to. We suffer a lot less, but another difference is we really don't have any choice, right, or much choice, yeah, about our suffering, but he did, and he took it upon himself. So it should silence the critic who says, well, God can dish it out, but he can't take it.
Randy Alcorn with us all this week. One more day tomorrow, and we'll be back with Randy. His book is called If God Is Good, and we're just barely at the surface of this, and so let me recommend this to you, especially if this is an issue that's perhaps been troubling you, and you'd like to read more about it. If God Is Good. Randy, we'll talk again tomorrow.